Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. As the pandemic grew in size and scope last year, so did the financial strain on Americans. The loss of jobs and income pressed so many on all sides, but governments eventually stepped in with resources like moratoriums on rental evictions, utilities, and other services gave people breathing room with the elimination of late fees and fines. Those resources are starting to go away. But a lot of people aren't recovering as fast as they are going away. So what do you do when you still need the support that is disappearing? Well, joining me to talk about this are Kelly Kaplan, Customer Engagement and Advocacy Division Manager with the Washington Suburban Sanitary Commission, also known as WSSC, and Alita Dawkins, Director of Program Services for the Salvation Army National Capital Area. If you have comments, if you have questions, if you are concerned about those resources going away that perhaps you were using over the past year or so, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You're welcome to tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Kelly and Alita, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Kelly, I want to start with you and take me back to what is now some 15 months or so ago, around the beginning of the pandemic. What was happening when people started losing their jobs? When did you at the WSSC realize that there was going to be a problem with people paying their water bills?
So, Harold, that is a great question. And I think none of us knew the pandemic was going to be this long or this impactful. We started immediately started seeing people being behind paying their bills. And there were a lot of proactive things that WSSC Water did. Our tagline, Here to Help, has really been important to let folks know that we're here with financial assistance resources. We have an amazing CEO, Carla Reed, who is the most compassionate person I know, concerned for our customers. And, you know, fast forward to today, one in five of our customers is behind at least 30 days. So 93,000 of our customers, one in five, are behind to the tune of about $64 million. And that's kind of double where we were, say, February of 2020. So we know the struggle is real for so many families.
Kelly, I'm going to have our producer give you a call back because we're having some difficulty with your connection and you're not clear. So she's going to call you back. I'm going to go to Alita if I can. Alita, one of the things that organizations like the Salvation Army has had to do is to do this humongous pivot over the past several months. And a lot of that was seen early in the pandemic. What kind of challenges were the constituency that you were serving beginning to see some 15 months or so ago?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Some of our consumers that we've seen traditionally, our consumers comprised of those and our consumers were tasked with attempting to provide for their families while not necessarily knowing how they were going to maintain their job and do virtual school learning with their children. So we saw a lot of them just trying to pull together their own internal resources, not realizing that the Salvation Army and other nonprofits in the local, in our D.C. area region had a plethora of activity and services to be able to support them. More specifically for us at the Salvation Army, we had to adapt our resources and our service model very quickly to an online format to be able to still provide the services. I'm happy to say that throughout the pandemic, it didn't take us very long to adapt our services. All of our applications are online. They are form fillable. They can be sent in. We have a robust phone tree that will be able to support consumers, and specifically in the District of Columbia, we've outfitted our offices with iPads to be able to support with other programs throughout the city. And so we are still open and have been opening, and we have funds to be able to support the community in any way they need.
So let's talk about specifically the support, because as I mentioned in the beginning of the program, we did see all kinds of entities, whether it was government, utilities, and the like, who were having to make some changes. You talk about rental assistance. There was a need for food and all of these other kinds of resources. But, for example, in the District of Columbia, tomorrow there is going to be a hearing on rental evictions and the moratorium that has been in place for more than a year. And there's talk about the possibility of something like that going away. What impact does that have, for example, on the people that you serve?
It has a significant impact. Of course, the Salvation Army is keeping close tabs on the hearing tomorrow, but we also work very closely with district officials through the Department of Human Services that currently is providing over $350 million to D.C. residents through its D.C. State program, which is specifically to assist landlord and individual tenants to pay some of the arrears, or hopefully most of the arrears that consumers are having today. And so they have a big platform where they're working. We are there providing support and assistance. And we're hopeful that the moratorium will stay in place. However, if it doesn't, we have our own individual programs where we provide rental assistance as well as utility support with our partners such as WSSC, Washington Gas, and PEPCO, among some other supportive services that we provide in the district. But we are prepared and we are assisting the district officials with being able to get the information out into community, and also at the same time being able to help citizens in the District of Columbia process applications or just walk through what services they might be available.
Mm-hmm. All right, we've got our Kelly Kaplan back with WSSC. Kelly, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm so sorry. Hopefully this is better. We tested it.
Stuff happens.
Live radio.
Yeah, well, you know, there it is. Stuff happens. So let me go back to the question that I was asking you. And as I said, take me back to the very beginning. Because as we saw in the beginning of the pandemic, utilities, services, government agencies, landlords, grocery stores, everyone had to pivot. So share with me how you went from pre-pandemic programs to what was first implemented with WSSC last year when you saw that things were beginning to deteriorate?
Yes. So one of the first things that we started doing was restoring service for folks for water and sewer that had been disconnected. So we did that for about 373 customers. That was one of the first actions. One of the other very first actions was we immediately said, you know what, we are going to stop water disconnections and we're going to waive late fees. So we did that even before Governor Hogan made the executive order. So those were two really important pivots. And then the Here to Help campaign was launched to really make sure we are getting into the community, meeting people where they lived, and getting into the community virtually, of course. Meeting people where they lived and trying to share resources with them through the food banks, through all the places people were going in those early days to get assistance. We were just trying to make sure that people were getting hard copy flyers of all the resources out there, because we knew the struggle was going to really happen quickly, and it did. Mm-hmm. And here we are today. You know, and I don't know if you heard me say this, but one in five of our customers is at least 30 days behind. So that's 90,000 customers across Prince George's and Montgomery County.
Wow, that's a lot. So what should they do now? Because things are beginning to change. As I was explaining to Alita, that, for example, there's this big concern about the eviction moratorium for renters in the district being lifted. And that's just one example. But as things get back to normal, businesses, utilities, services are trying to pivot back, but it is an irregular pivot and it requires as much thought and ingenuity as the first pivot did.
Absolutely, because there's no playbook. Nobody has a playbook for what we've needed to do. So, Harold, what I would say is we are really encouraging people to call us. Call us at 301-206-4001, Monday to Friday, 7:30 to 7, and we can talk to you about all of the financial resources available. So, for example, payment plans. Call us. There's no minimum to get a payment plan set up. You know, even if it's $10 a month or a quarter that people can pay, start doing that. Get established on that payment plan. And we have a program called the Customer Assistance Program, which helps folks, low-income folks, waive the fixed fees on the bill. So that amounts to about $112 a year. And they enroll and qualify through either HHS or social services in the county where they live. When they apply for energy assistance, so help with their gas or electric bill, they meet the qualifications. And so, for example, a family of three making $38,000 would qualify. They would get that $112 a year waived. Plus, they would automatically be enrolled in another program called the Bay Restoration Fund exemption, which is a fee that everyone pays. That would waive that $60 fee, which is an annual thing. So $172 would be freed up to pay for medicine or to pay for food. So that's a program that's out there right now. So lots of things folks can find out and get enrolled in by calling us and get some assistance with their water and sewer bill.
Well, speaking of calling, give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about those pandemic resources that were put in place last year when people were losing their jobs, losing income and the like. Some of those things are beginning to go away. Some of them are beginning to change. If you need help, if you have questions, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the things that you mentioned earlier, Alita, was help with Pepco and Washington Gas bill. Talk to me a little bit about that. I may have to stop you as we go to a break, but please go right ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a wonderful partnership through the Washington Area Fuel Fund, as well as with Pepco, that provides utility assistance to families in need. Most recently, during the pandemic, we were able to increase our eligibility up to 80% of area median income. We know that in our D.C. metropolitan area, our working class families make higher income than traditionally. And so we wanted to be able to make sure that we are able to support those families who might be struggling and not necessarily know that they are eligible for those funds. So we have Pepco is available throughout our area, as well as our WASS assistance program. As far out is Frederick County, as down is Waldorf, Prince William, as well as in the District of Columbia and Montgomery and PG County.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about pandemic resources as they begin to shift, as we begin to come out of the shutdown, the lockdown that has been so very, very difficult for so many of us for the past 15, now going on 16 months. If you have a question, if you have a comment, certainly give us a call. We will take your information and see what we can possibly help you with. But we need to take a break, and we want to remind you that you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. Or, of course, you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. And, of course, don't forget you can hear the program also on 98.3 FM from 7 to 8 in its entirety. If you're on the phone, stay with us. That includes Mike calling from D.C. Don't hang up. We're going to talk to you next. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about where do you go for help with pandemic resources that are starting to go away. My guests are Kelly Kaplan, Customer Engagement and Advocacy Division Manager with the Washington Suburban Sanitary Commission, and Alita Dawkins, Director of Program Services for the Salvation Army National Capital Area. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You're welcome to tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Let's go to Mike calling from D.C. Mike, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, Harold, I want to thank you for all of the hard work that you do and this beautiful program that you have to get people to express how they feel about certain issues of the day.
Sure.
I think one of the best ways to solve the problem in this country is for this country to do like other developing countries are doing to solve poverty situation. I don't know why they just don't do a basic universal income like they do in other countries. I remember the District of Columbia at one time was talking about paying criminals money to not do crime. And I'm like, okay, well, that don't make any sense. If you're going to pay criminals, why don't you take that money to help out the poor people that are trying? Because you got a lot of poor that are working poor. A lot of people are homeless. They work, but they just still are not making enough funding. So I think it's past time for a basic universal income. And this and what the people and politics are talking about, how you're going to pay for it, how you're going to pay for it, that's not going to work anymore, because they're looking at how this country give all of these resources to other countries, but when it comes towards helping their own people, they fail to do so.
Well, Mike, let me stop you, because while I think that's a discussion for another day, because that's not what we're talking about today. What we are talking about, and that would be wonderful, I think, you know, in the abstract. But right now, the issue, and I don't think our guests are in a position to make any, you know, statements regarding the social or political aspects of what you're suggesting. But what we are talking about today is that there are shifts that are beginning to happen as we are opening up, and some of the resources that were put in place last year are either going away or they are changing. And there are still people out there who don't have the resources that were lost at the beginning of the pandemic. They've lost jobs, they've lost income, they've lost family members, unfortunately, who may have been breadwinners in those families as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. And so certainly I appreciate your passion about that, but we are going to stick to this particular conversation. Let me go to Kelvina. Kelvina calling from Lexington Park. Kelvina, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I was calling because, you know, my neighborhood started giving out 30-day notices to everyone, and they gave me one because they said my rent was late too many times. I'm paid up on my rent, you know, and, you know, people out here with kids just getting back on their feet, struggling, trying to survive, and you give people a 30-day notice just to go, you know, and then they talk about the homeless population, the shelters are closed, but then you want to put people out as soon as things start opening back up. And I'm like, so where do we go?
Kelvina, Alita, any thoughts for Kelvina?
Yes, absolutely. I would encourage her to reach out to her local Salvation Army if she's in Charles County. There is one right across the street from the Walmart down there. The state of Maryland received upwards to $400 million to be able to support with rental assistance. And so I would encourage her to call her local Salvation Army to be able to specifically find out information on how to apply for those programs.
Okay.
Well, that's the thing. I don't need the rental. I mean, I need the rental assistance because, you know, we have to go. But, you know, trying to find a new place during this time is really hard. And I've been looking and looking and looking. And, you know, everything is either sky high or you don't qualify.
I mean, any thoughts about that? Because that's a very, very good point that she's making, Alita. And we've talked about this, you know, ad nauseum on this program about the high cost of living in the D.C. metro.
Yeah, I think that's what's so unique about the programs that we offer. The Salvation Army also has a nationwide initiative called the Pathway of Hope. And what we do with the Pathway of Hope program is we understand that we have many working families who are not able to really search for additional resources or search for transitioning housing and things like that. But we have trained our case managers to be able to work in a non-traditional method and do external. It's almost like going outside of the walls of our social services building to be able to meet with our consumers one-on-one, to provide them that one-on-one support system. I call it almost like a personal realtor coach or a coach, someone who's helping you kind of just redirect your life and helping you put things together so that you can make the accurate decisions while you're still trying to take care of your families. So, again, I would encourage you to reach out to the local Salvation Army in Charles County and inquire about our Pathway of Hope program.
Kelvina, thank you so much. And, you know, best of luck to you as you begin to make this transition in looking for a new place. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kelly, what do you say to your customers who are still in the throes of, you know, pandemic financial trouble, who may have run out of the resources to catch up on their water bills?
Yes, Harold, that's a great question. And the Salvation Army is a wonderful partner in, a program we have that's called the Water Fund, that can provide direct assistance up to $500 per year to a family. So going to the Salvation Army in the county or city where you live, you can apply. It really is important right now because we all know water is essential. COVID-19, one of the most important pieces is being able to wash your hands, having access to water. So the great thing is, Harold, we are not looking at disconnecting people or suspending water service at this time. So that's not even in the realm at the time. But go to the Salvation Army and they have a wraparound program. So you could go and get help, like Aliata said, with electric bill, gas bill, potentially rent mortgage. You could get a bag of food, a clothing voucher, just literally wrapping around each family, each person that comes in to get that help, because we know folks are struggling with the essentials, with food, with their utility bills. And so this program, the Water Fund, is there to support families. And we're very, very proud. And it's in the region, like Aliata said, it's Prince George's and Montgomery for the Water Fund, and then the other programs, WAF and PEPCO's utility assistance, is throughout the whole DMV.
So how does the Maryland Office of Home Energy Programs work in conjunction with WSSE, OHEP, I believe that's what it's called?
Yes. Got to have an acronym, Harold. There's an acronym for everything.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't understand government folks unless they give you the alphabet soup.
Exactly. So that is a great question. So OHEP is the agency in the state of Maryland, and then they get the federal programming dollars, which is called the Low Energy Income Heating Assistance Program. That comes down to the county level. So either Health and Human Services or Social Services, depending on where you live, those departments see people and can get folks qualified for that federal money for their gas bill, for their electric bill. And then, as I said earlier, the customer assistance program that we have, if you qualify for energy assistance through them, you'll automatically be enrolled in our CAP program, which will waive the fixed fees on a WSSE water bill up to $112 a year.
How long does it take for something like that to be put in place? If I'm struggling with, yes, you know, my water bill, I mean, is this something you do online? I'm assuming so, because there are still, you know, pandemic protocols that, right, that don't allow you to go up to a building or to an office.
Right. So whether you're going to the county health and human services or social services or going to the Salvation Army, both, all of those agencies do have the online option, application, fill it out, submit your paperwork, talk to somebody on the phone. But most of the agencies are starting to reopen, are starting to see people in person. And you can imagine, because so many families are struggling, these agencies, all of the agencies, all the nonprofits, social service nonprofits, are just, you know, just doing everything they can, working really hard every day. But, you know, it's going to take some time. You get your application in, you get qualified, and then that money will go directly to the utility. So whether that's Pepco, Washington Gas, or WSSC Water. So it can take weeks, but the sooner you get out there, the sooner you get that application in and get qualified, the faster it'll all happen. And what will happen is a pledge will be put on a particular person's utility account. So it kind of, you know, the utility knows the money's coming.
Mm-hmm. Alita, what kind of things are you beginning to see now that things are opening up that perhaps you didn't see 15 months ago?
Well, I think the thing that we see the most is the lack of knowledge there is in the community regarding the numerous services that, one, we provide and that they now have access to. And so outside of promoting the programs that we have, we just try to work with individuals with being able to spread that information to their family and their friends through our social media outlets, through our website, and definitely through personal connections. I think that's the biggest thing, is that individuals and families, particularly those working families that you spoke about a little while ago, who are traditionally the working poor, they don't realize that they are now eligible to receive these types of support.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think this is a really good point when you talk about the working poor and those who may be eligible, because compared to other places around the country, even those who have not lost, you know, perhaps lost their jobs, but you may look at, you know, a salary or a wage that somebody may be making in Laurel or DC or you know, Fairfax County would be considered, you know, exorbitant, you know, in Columbus, Ohio, or Huntsville, Alabama, or Tallahassee, Florida. And so is there a guideline for, you know, if you, like a family of four, you know, what's the limit where they may qualify, income limit where they may qualify for the services before they perhaps get, you know, kicked out of that eligibility space?
So, Harold,
I'll tell you what, that was for Alita, but Alita first and then Kelly next, please. No, that's quite all right.
Oh, great. Thank you. For the majority of our programs, we have done a review to make sure that we're assisting to those working families. And after that review, most of our programs have shifted between 80 to 60% of AMI. So when you're looking at qualification...
AMI, for the people in the back...
Area medium income.
There you go. Thank you so much. there's another alphabet suit. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, and that's as far as Fairfax County through Prince George's, Montgomery, as well as the District of Columbia. We're looking at a family of four roughly making anywhere between $70,000 to $77,000 a year, depending on eligible programs. And as the family increases, that so does that area median income increases. And so, again, we always encourage individuals, if they don't think they will be eligible for the program, to go to our website at www.salvationarmync.org/get-help to pull up an application, look, reach out to one of our social services coordinators,
We have 12 different programs throughout the DMV area. And so we just really encourage everyone to not just think that there's not help, but to actually reach out. Mm.
Kelly, you were going to share something with us.
Yes, and Aliotta covered that beautifully. And I was just going to add, I think a lot of the newly unemployed folks that maybe have never experienced a job loss before, a job loss can put people into an emergency situation. And so while previously, before the pandemic, they didn't qualify for a lot of the programs we're talking about, now they very well may. So I want people to, just like Aliotta said, we want them to look at these programs, see what the salary, what the annual income dollar amounts are, and not just assume that they're not going to qualify. I think that's important.
And I think, like Aliotta just said, when you were talking about, income and getting this information into the system. And I think, Kelly, you make a great example. You may have been doing fine pre-pandemic. You may have had a salaried position or what have you, but COVID hits, you've lost everything. And so, when organizations may say, well, I need your income tax form from the year before, well, that was last year's money. But we're talking about, the here and now and processing the need. Do you have to have proof of a need with WSSC to get the kind of assistance that we've been talking about?
So somebody needs to show what their current income is. And so if they have a job loss, that puts them in an emergency situation because maybe their income was $100,000 pre-pandemic. They lost their job and now their income is zero or it's small or whatever it might be. And so that emergency of losing the job or there's a medical issue, whatever it might be, could make them now eligible when they weren't before. So that's why it's like, reach out, look at these programs, call us at WSSC Water at 301-206-4001. Because we want to meet people where they live. We want to make sure people know that these financial assistance resources are there. And so, like the Salvation Army, we've been trying to do social media and flyer distribution and the Nextdoor app to let people know about all of these resources, just extensive outreach, because so many people have never had to face this challenge before.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. And as we saw last year, particularly for wage workers or people who may have worked in the services industry, even if you waited tables or something like that, at a restaurant, made great money on tips and the like. But when people were let go, I don't think a lot of people received letters. So would they have to have a letter, for example, to prove that they were in need?
So typically in those situations, one would sign, and I say affidavit. Mm-hmm. It makes it sound very official, but most of the time there's some sort of document that you can sign to attest to the fact that, no, I don't have any income right now, or my income has been drastically reduced. So that is part of that, if you will, intake process that happens, whether it be with the Salvation Army, whether it be with OHEP or whomever, that there is that option to be able to do that, because a lot of people are, in fact, in that situation, as you're talking about, Harold.
It's difficult. But on the other side of that, and one of the things that we have seen, and this is actually a question for both of you, but I'll continue with you, Kelly, first, is that we have seen, unfortunately, a great deal of fraud. People who are trying to take advantage of individuals, government agencies, local and all the way up to federal, trying to get access to these resources to, for lack of a better term, skate through when they don't need them, to take those resources away from other people who really do need them. So, Kelly, how does the WSSC deal with, the possibility of fraud, for example?
Well, I would, you know, I think that that's always been there, right? But I think economic, difficult economic times really move people to do even more things. And the agencies that we work with, the Salvation Army, OHEP, they're going to do everything that they can to get accurate information based on what they're trying to, what they need to collect from the individual. And they're all doing the best they can. And I, you know, I don't have a great answer for you, because do I think that there might be some situations where people do get money that don't need it? I'm sure there is, but I really do think more often than not, the people that are coming in really are desperately in need. They're in survival mode. I was just on a call earlier today with Mission of Love, which is a 501c3 in Prince George's County, just talking about, you know, families coming to them in the morning with no shoes on their feet and needing a sandwich, needing a bowl of soup. I mean, literally, that's where so many families are, just literally in survival mode. So that's what we focus on, and it's just that.
Yeah, it is without a doubt a difficult situation in trying to, you know, protect the people who are in need from the vipers and the vultures that are out in the community. And same thing, you know, Alita, because you working with the Salvation Army have an opportunity to see people who are at, you know, at the worst. But I would also imagine that, you know, the staff is also keeping a keen eye out for those who would be attempting to take advantages of your services.
Absolutely. I think I'll echo what Kelly said. Right now, because the need is so great, we really want to focus on the community and meeting individuals' needs as they come in, making sure that we are absolutely doing the most good by them and by our program policies. But we have seen an increase in some fraudulent accounts when we were working with some of our corporate partners. And so for specifically at the Salvation Army, we have a three-step, three-person vetting process when consumers apply for various programs. We do look at those at random, but they do go through their case management process where the case manager is vetting the documents, whether they're self-certifying if they don't have any income statements. We are really working with them to not only address the need now, but the need that'll be there tomorrow or maybe next month. From there, there's two managers who review those applications. We have a ton that comes in every Monday morning. And then we have a absolutely fantastic finance department that really works with looking at W-9s when we're working with landlords, as well as other documentation to hopefully cut down on that fraud that may be happening. There's a lot of government funding out there, and we know families are interested in it. And so we do use that three-person and then that three-step process to really hopefully toss out applications that shouldn't be a part of the community who really needs to receive these funds.
You know, Kelly, one of the things that I was not aware of, and in this conversation we've been talking about people in need, but I wasn't aware that those of means can contribute to making a tax deductible donation. Explain to me how that works. I've never heard of that before.
Oh gosh, I would love Harold to tell you about that, because yes, there are very generous folks that live in our region that support the Water Fund, and that is the fund that I spoke of that can provide a family up to $500 toward their water and sewer bill. So on our website at wssc.water.com/donate. One can go and make a donation in any amount. And we use PayPal, so it's easily processed. You get a tax receipt. And because WSSC Water is the sponsor of the Water Fund, 100% of all of the money that comes into the Water Fund goes to families in need. So we pay and cover all of the administrative costs. So since the pandemic, we have gotten about $500,000 out through the water fund to 3,700 families, which is great. But you can imagine, Harold, that the need is immense. I told you that 90,000 of our customers are struggling. We've helped 3,700, which is amazing and phenomenal. But if somebody has the capacity and the means to make a donation, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, you can't help somebody with something more essential than their water and making sure they have access to clean, safe water.
If I were a WSSC customer who was the recipient of a portion of this tax-deductible donation, would I be aware of that?
So we do send tax receipts to folks. So you can also, and I didn't mention this, and I'm glad you reminded me, customers, WSSC water customers can also donate through their bill. So if you donate through your bill, you'll get a tax receipt, you know, in January of the following year. So, you know, like in 2021, you'd get a receipt in January of 2022 for any donations that you made this calendar year. And if you donate on PayPal, to the water fund, it automatically will give you a receipt as well. So, and that's something, you know, talking to you tonight is a great way to continue to get that word on the street and let people know that it is a tax-deductible donation. And gosh, you can help a family make sure they have water.
Right, but
it's pretty dang cool.
No, yeah, it sounds like it. No, what I was asking is if I were the recipient of that tax-deductible donation, not a donor.
Oh, my apologies.
Yeah, so would I know that, you know, the Kaplan family made a $2,000 donation to the water fund and, you know, and they were able to help me keep my water on for the next 3 months or what have you? Would I know that, or is it just, it's just the fund, the donors are anonymous, and that's just the way it works?
It's really more about the donors being anonymous. You can imagine most people, I think, that are philanthropic in giving and make donations do it out of the goodness of their heart. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, they want to help people and make a difference. So, yeah, that's not something that we publicize just to keep the, you know, privacy of donors, because that's what most of them prefer.
Well, I think, you know, and unlike, you know, the Salvation Army, which, you know, a lot of people know is a charitable, you know, organization.
Yeah.
I think it's good for people to know about that because, you know, WSSC, you usually don't think WSSC in charity. You think WSSC in water or no water. So I think that, you know, that water fund is important because there are people who have means, who are looking at unique ways to contribute, you know, anonymously and in a way that would be immediately impactful.
Yes.
And you know, short of, you know, electricity or food or housing, you know, water is you know, definitely, you know, a necessity. So I think it's I think that is admirable to have a program like that. I'm running out of time. Real quick, Alita, some final thoughts about just where we are right now, as there are still people in need and the restrictions are lifting and things are beginning to open up to some sense of normalcy.
I think the final thought for me as a representative of the Salvation Army is just to specifically say that we are here wanting to do the most good in our community. Again, we partner with a variety of vendors throughout the D.C. metropolitan area, WSSC being one, Washington Gas, Pepco, the Department of Human Services in D.C. And I would encourage families and friends of family members who know families who are in need to reach out to one of our offices. We have 12 different programs. And in the Salvation Army as a whole, there's a Salvation Army office in every zip code in the United States. And so go to our website at www.salvationarmync.org/get-help. And we'll definitely connect you to someone who can help you in your area.
Kelly, some final thoughts from you.
Yes, and so we are here to help at WSSC Water. All of the information, all of the assistance can be found at WSSC mercywater.com/assistance, or give us a call, 301-206-4001, and we will help you with your situation and provide you with whatever financial resources are available, and, you know, just trying to help everybody that we can. It's a tough time, and we are very grateful for the time tonight to be on your fabulous show. So thank you very much for that.
Kelly Kaplan, Alita Dawkins, thank you both for talking to us. I appreciate it. Stay safe. That is the Daily Drum on this Thursday, May 20th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.